guys, we are so close. And I mean so close to the 2024 NFL Draft. We are a little less than a month out, actually, from the NFL Draft, live from Detroit, Michigan, on ESPN, ESPN Plus, ABC, and NFL Network. Guys, the NFL Draft, April 25th to the 27th, and we are still rocking and rolling as we get closer and closer to draft day. We are talking about pro days, a little bit of more about pro days, our pro day reactions from North Carolina, Michigan, LSU. Guys, we are going to dive deep into the rule results and what's all the buzz about J.J. McCarthy, because I've been hearing a lot about J.J. McCarthy and I've been hearing a lot about what's been going on, you know, with the Michigan quarterback. We're going to find out a little bit more about him. Is this a smokescreen or is this legit? Is this legit hype, legit talk? We're going to talk about it. And I'm going to break it down from my experience of seeing Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. With that being said, welcome to Pigskin Frenzy on this wonderful and a little chilly Thursday afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I'm Joel Norris. Whether you're watching on YouTube, listening on Spotify, listening on Podbean or Apple, a big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some NFL coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy. Follow, like the pages there. You will get episode updates. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get Instagram trivia question stories. Go and answer today's trivia question, or NFL trivia question, rather, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, if you want to know what platform to watch, even though I just told you the platforms that we're on, you have a choice. You still have a choice. If you want to go to the new website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com, you get to know more about me personally. You can contact me, ask me questions. I make an answer on the show. I may answer them personally. Pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can go to the store, which the store will be open coming soon. Not right now, but coming soon. It will be open, as well as, you know, affiliations. We're about to mention the affiliations in here in a minute. You can also go and look on the platforms. We have all the platforms there. You can click on each platform and see what we're on, and you can follow and subscribe on each platform. Guys, affiliations. If you want to know how to have a beard like mine, if you're seeing me on YouTube, you see my beard right now. If you want to know how to have a nice beard like mine, a well-kept beard, soft beard like mine, well, go to the Beard Club, because that is where you can find all your products and all your grooming, you know, your grooming kits and your beard growth kits to make your beard look, and facial hair, not just your facial hair, not just your beard, your body, your hair on your head. You can make all that look superb and fantastic with the Beard Club. Men and significant others to your men in their lives, you're going to need to hear this. The Beard Club, 15% off. Spring 25 is the discount code for Beard Club products, including beard growth kits. Guys, the Beard Club is what is best for you. It's what's best for me. It's what's best for your facial hair needs. Guys, if you need anything with facial hair needs and grooming needs met, go to the Beard Club. You can go to my website, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. Go to the affiliations page. Click on the Beard Club logo. Go to my social medias and click on my link tree as well. And you can go click on the Beard Club link through my link tree. The Beard Club is where your grooming needs are going to be met. Proud partner of Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, NFL day today. And Pro days were cooking. They've still been cooking ever since early March. The last one is April 3rd, and it's Yale. We're probably not going to be doing that one. We are going to do our last round of pro day reactions next week. Next week, we will do Tennessee, Auburn, and we will do Washington. Tennessee, Auburn, and Washington will be our last three of, you know, NFL pro days that we're going to do, you know, for, you know, coming up, right? So Auburn, Tennessee, and Washington. So that's next week. This week, we're doing LSU, Michigan, and North Carolina. We're going to react to those pro days and a lot of what happened, you know, today and, you know, the other day. Michigan was on the 22nd. LSU's was yesterday. Earlier today was North Carolina's. So we're going to talk about those three pro days. We're also going to dive deep, guys, into the new NFL rule changes. We're going to need to talk about that, because that's something interesting to talk about. Interesting stuff going on, especially with my thoughts on it. I have a word or two to say about it. So let's get right into it. Let's get right into the pro days. Let's talk about the pro days. And we're going to dive into North Carolina's first. North Carolina had their pro day today. And let me go on to tell you something. Drake May is as advertised, right? Drake May is as advertised. He is a stellar quarterback. Let me go on and tell you something. He did really, really good in North Carolina. This past season, he had an up and down skid, but he has shown the ability to improve himself to the ability to be a top quarterback in the NFL one day. He's certainly one of the top quarterback prospects in the NFL draft. Has his draft stock fallen a little bit? Maybe, maybe not. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit, but Drake May looked good in North Carolina's pro day. Obviously he threw really well. He ran really well. His measurements were really, really good. Drake May looked like a pro quarterback. That was the main thing I watched the North Carolina pro day for. I wanted to see how Drake May was doing. Tez Walker looked really, really good as well. Tez Walker, he ran really well. He ran the 40 really, really well. His wingspan is pretty solid, second to none, and very underrated when it comes to receivers in this draft. North Carolina looked really good. It has some really good prospects coming into this draft, and they looked really, really good during their pro day. Drake May, for sure. Drake May threw the ball really, really well. He made some accurate decisions. I was surprised by some of the decisions that he made and how accurate he did, accurate decision-making that he made when throwing the football, because he, under pressure, not only are just really under pressure, but a lot of times, not even under pressure last season, he didn't make the best of decisions during college football last season, but he stepped it up in pro day. He showed a lot of scouts why Drake May is one of the top quarterback prospects in the draft for 2024. Like I said, Tez Walker and Drake May were my two favorites. Walker did really, really well. He caught the ball really, really well. I think he's going to be an underrated prospect. Would I take Tez Walker over a guy like Marvin Harrison or a guy like Malik Nabers or Roma Dunsey or Xavier Worthy? Probably not, but he is a good choice in my eyes for a second round pick or a third round pick in the NFL draft. I really do believe that. I think he is a solid choice. I think he's going to be a very underrated receiver in the NFL. I think he's got a good shot at proving a lot of people wrong on how good he actually is. When it comes to acceleration after catch, when it comes to route running, I really think that Tez Walker has a lot to prove, but he's also going to prove the naysayers wrong, if that makes sense. So that was really my main take from North Carolina's pro day and how I reacted to their pro day. They both look really solid. If I had to choose one thing for each one to work on, I would say for Tez Walker, not really route running or acceleration after catch. I would say, mentally, just be a little bit better, mentally and prepared when running a route. And it sounds kind of, weird to say that and weird to say, dude, you're like on something saying that? No, I'm not on something. But I'm being for real. It takes mental preparation and mental focus. So when you see a ball coming down, running a route, and you're looking at it, it can get in your head a little bit. So he's had a couple of drops this season. So I think mental preparedness when running a route will help him a lot in the draft, and it will help him a lot in the NFL. For Drake May, keep working on decision-making. Decision-making was good, but just get better at decision-making. If you're Drake May, he's got the physical attributes to be an NFL quarterback. Just work on the decision-making aspect and the mental aspect of it to be an NFL quarterback. That's really all I got for North Carolina's pro day. A lot of talent in North Carolina. They both look good, but those two were the ones that caught my eye, and that's why I really watched pro day for North Carolina, was because of those two, Drake May and Tez Walker. So let's talk about LSU's pro day. LSU's pro day, Jaden Daniels. He threw like a madman. He did really, really well. He threw the ball to Nabers well. He threw the ball to Thomas well. He looked really, really good. what I learned from Jaden Daniels a lot during the pro day, and I'm going to be just straight up with you about LSU, about him, about, you know, Jaden Daniels in general, as I pull up the note for, you know, their pro day. I learned that Jaden Daniels is a really solid quarterback. Not only is a solid quarterback, he is an outright dog. He's a dog. He's a player. He's a good teammate. He didn't even wear his own jersey number. He wore a hoodie that had Greg Brooks, LSU defensive back, number 3 on the back. If you don't know the story about LSU defensive back Greg Brooks Jr., he was diagnosed with a rare form of brain cancer, a very rare form, and he was out from football this past season. He played only one game, and that was the Florida State game. He is best friends with Jaden Daniels, and Jaden Daniels was going out there to support him. Good guy, good teammate, and he is always focused on others before himself, which makes a really good quarterback in the NFL, if you think of it. A really good teammate, puts the organization first, does what's best for the team first, and that's what can win you championships. And that's why Jaden Daniels could be an excellent pickup and most likely will be an excellent pickup for anybody that drafts him. He threw the ball really, really well. Was dropping dimes at Pro Day for LSU. Malik Nabers, another guy that was just unbelievable. His 40 was impressive. He ran a 4.35 today. Yesterday, Wednesday. He ran a 4.35 in the 40 yesterday, and it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. One of the fastest time out of everybody at the LSU Pro Day yesterday. Malik Nabers, he caught, he threw, he did all the drills, and he showed that honestly, he could probably be the first receiver taken off the board. Listen, I said last week about Marvin Harrison being the first receiver taken off the board. I said that could potentially hurt him. With Malik Nabers showing what he can do, could hurt him. Malik Nabers, let me tell you how close Malik Nabers was to winning the Biletnikoff Award. If you're watching me on YouTube and you see my fingers, you see how small my fingers are together. He came very, very close by the hair of his chinny chin chin to win that Biletnikoff Award. If you're listening on audio, he came the hair of his chinny chin chin. He came that close to winning the Biletnikoff Award. So, Biletnikoff Award, best wide receiver in college football. Marvin Harrison won that award, but it was not by much. Malik Nabers proved that he was the number one wide receiver. And I quote, he said it himself, and I quote, "I'm a dog. No one can guard me." Is he a he may and the thing is, he proved that LSU, if y'all watched their offense last season, him and Brian Thomas were almost unstoppable of a duo. You had Jarvis Landry, you had Odell Beckham, you had Jamar Chase, you had Justin Jefferson. This past season, you had Malik Nabers and you had Brian Thomas Jr. LSU has some guys at receiver, man, that's coming into the NFL. NFL wide receiver as of late has been LSU. LSU and Alabama, if you want to, you know, be frank. So, Malik Nabers did really, really well. Honestly, pro day takeaways, I think Brian Thomas Jr. was really, really good. I think Malik Nabers showed out a lot. I think he was the most impressive by far. Jaden Daniels did really well, but I think Malik Nabers caught my eye in this pro day. He was really fast. Mason Smith looked really, really good. I liked him as a defensive lineman. I think he's going to be a very underrated D lineman in the NFL draft and in the NFL period. I think he is a third-round pick. Mid to late second or early third round. I think in my eyes, Mason Smith has kind of fallen to that area. He was a late first rounder, but I think the injuries and a lot of what happened, you know, kind of did it for me a lot, did it for me a little bit. But I think that he's a solid choice. I think he's a good and big and physical defensive tackle. But I think that a lot of what happened during the college football season with the suspension, not just the suspension, the injuries, have kind of put me on the back burner for Mason Smith a little bit, a tiny bit, not too much. I think he still needs to get drafted. I think he's a very underrated talent in this draft. An underrated defensive lineman that came out of LSU is Mekhi Wingo. Mekhi Wingo. Wingo looked tremendous today. Wingspan was good. Vertical jump was good. Very physical, very, you know, kind of fast for a defensive lineman as well. He came from Missouri, transferred from Missouri to LSU. He looked solid in the past two seasons. He got hurt a little bit, but then played in the bowl game to try to up his draft stock a little bit. Mekhi Wingo, most likely a second or third round pick in my eyes. He is a solid draft choice. If you don't think so, go watch some of his highlights, and I'll tell you, it'll show you what I mean. He looked really, really good. Those are the main guys that stood out to me for LSU on defense, Mason Smith and Mekhi Wingo on offense. Obviously, the three workhorses, Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, and Brian Thomas Jr. Brian Thomas Jr. is a first-round pick in my eyes, a very underrated choice. I don't know where I have him going yet, but once I get my mock draft together for the round one, for the draft episode, I will, tell y'all where he is going. But Malik Nabers was the most impressive out of everybody, a 4.35. A 4.35. He's an excellent route runner. I mean, it's like, what can Malik Nabers not do? He's an excellent route runner, acceleration after catch. He's real fast after the catch. He's got great hands, he improvises really well when needed to. He's got good eyes, good precision, got good eye after the catch. He's real smart. He's a good football player, knows what to do when going up against each coverage. He's a solid receiver, an elite receiver, and in my eyes, not only a top 10 pick, could be a top 5 pick for LSU. So Malik Nabers was the most impressive to me out of LSU's pro day yesterday. Jaden Daniels threw the ball really, really well. He's already showed what he can do, and as well as the rest of them as they wait for more interviews, because now everybody's getting interviewed. Jaden Daniels met with the Pats, Tuesday. He's meeting with more teams further along. The Commanders, the Giants, he's meeting with them. The Patriots, the Jets, the Cardinals, and the Titans are meeting with Malik Nabers as we speak right now. So, and the Cardinals who hold the fourth draft pick, the fourth pick in the NFL draft, Malik Nabers, impressive at NFL Pro Day for LSU. That was LSU's Pro Day and my reaction to them. Let's talk about one final Pro Day before we lean into something that has to do with Michigan, and we're going to talk about him in a little bit right after the pro day, and then conclude today's episode with the NFL rule changes here on Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I am very thankful for you guys. 31,000 listeners now for Pigskin Frenzy as the audience just keeps growing and growing and growing, and the listeners keep growing and growing and growing. Big thank you for listening, and thank you for taking some time out of your Tuesday and Thursday just listening to Pigskin Frenzy. Let's talk about Michigan up in Ann Arbor. And talking about them, we got some time. Not going to be too long of an episode, but out of Ann Arbor, J.J. McCarthy, Michigan quarterback. He looked good throwing the ball. He made some great decisions. He had an excellent pro day. Honestly, he had probably one of the best pro days out of all the top quarterback prospects in the NFL draft. Caleb Williams probably had the best out of all of them. It was probably, if you had to rank them, top three, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy. And then a close fourth would be Drake May. But when you look at J.J. McCarthy, he had an excellent pro day. A lot of teams were meeting with him. Former head coach Jim Harbaugh has told about him, people were looking at him and thinking, man, what's he about? And they were just raving about J.J. McCarthy. We're going to get into that in a little bit, because it's not just the teams raving about him. So we're going to get into that here in a little bit. But J.J. McCarthy looked good throwing the ball. He, his decision-making was really, really good, precise. His throwing was good. When he scrambled out of the pocket a little bit, he looked good with his footwork. His footwork looked excellent. He looked like a pro-ready quarterback going in the draft. He did. He wasn't bad. Blake Corum looked really, really good as well. I like Blake, obviously. I mean, Blake Corum looked really good. When you look at Blake Corum, when you look at Edwards, when you look at all those guys, they're just animals, man. They're just animals, honestly. Let me pull up my notes. Let me look at Blake Corum. Blake Corum, his measurements are I mean, amazing. He's 5'8", 204 pounds. His arms, 24, 3/4 inches. Hands, 9 and 1/4 inches. His shuttle, 4.07 seconds. Guys, he is a freak. Blake Corum is an animal. He runs the ball really, really well. In my opinion, he should be the first running back taken off the board. Now, the one running back that they're looking at who's probably going to be taken off the board first, what I've been hearing is Trey Benson from Florida State. Either or, Trey Benson is an animal as well. I like Trey Benson as a good running back as well, but Blake Corum, to me, did a little bit more this season, and I think that Blake Corum, to me, in my honest thoughts, should be the first running back taken off the board. I think he's done enough. I think he's got the resume behind him to prove it. He essentially single-handedly, beat Alabama in the Rose Bowl. They didn't have an answer for Blake Corum. Blake Corum was a big reason why they won the national championship this season. His rushing attack was second to none. Donovan Edwards was another one. He did really, really well. He is another guy that ran the ball, and he looked good for scouts. Blake Corum, though, is the main guy that ticks in the running in the rushing attack. He's the guy that when you get to him and you feed him and feed him and feed him, it's like, okay, we're gonna give up. They're gonna fall back and get tired of dealing with him. You run the ball with him, it's gonna tire the defense out even more, and just keep on tiring him out. So when you look at Blake Corum, he is an animal. He's a guy that will do that to you in the draft. I think whoever picks him up is a steal. In my honest thoughts, it's a steal whoever picks up Blake Corum in this draft. I'm really high on him. I think he's going to go probably second to third round in this draft. I think he is an absolute beast. And I think whoever picks him up is going to be a lucky team and lucky organization for getting Blake Corum. Junior Colson looked really, really good. He is a solid linebacker, one of the most underrated and best linebackers in this draft. I see him going second round as well, or maybe even late first round to early second. Junior Colson did a lot of good things for Michigan's defense. When they went up the middle, when teams were running up the middle or throwing up the middle, Junior Colson was always there to stand his ground and to break up the plays. He knows how to blow up plays. Junior Colson knows how to blow up plays, and I think that's really what I like most about him. He just blows everything up. He's a grenade, man. He's a grenade. You see, when you see Colson number 40, when you see number 46 Colson on the back, and you see him there. It's like, you might as well, instead of say Junior Colson on there, might as well just say linebacker grenade on the back of his jersey, because he's like that. He blows everything up. He's a solid football player. He is a, off the ball player. He is a solid when you're trying to, great physical presence when you are, blitzing. He's a master when it comes to blitzing. He has blitzed a lot of people this year. He's sacked a lot of guys, including Jalen Milroe in the Rose Bowl. If you look at Junior Colson, solid player, solid linebacker, and very underrated prospect in the 2024 NFL draft. He looked really great as well. Cornelius Johnson looked good. A lot of guys look good. Jalen Harrell, the edge rusher, looked good. His 40 time was 4.68 seconds. He looked good. He's going to be a really good prospect in the NFL draft as well. Jalen Harrell looked solid in this Michigan Pro Day. I liked what he did this season as an edge rusher and putting pressure on a lot of quarterbacks, especially in that Ohio State game. He put a lot of pressure on Kyle McCord in that game, and he blew up a lot of plays as well. So Jalen Harrell, good underrated prospect in the 2024 NFL draft. Just a lot of guys, man. A lot of guys in this class, and a lot of guys in this team, in this national championship team, who are leaving and taking that leap to the NFL. One more player did good, wide receiver Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson was a solid receiving choice for, along with Cornelius Johnson, for J.J. McCarthy this season. He's 5'10", 3'4", 186 pounds, 30 with 3/8 of an inch, 9 hands are 9 with 1/4 of an inch. His shuttle was 4 4.07 seconds. His three cone was 6.89 seconds. Fast guy, underratedly fast. He's not faster probably than Malik Nabers or Xavier Worthy, but he is a fast player. He is a solid player, and he will get the job done at receiver. I've been hearing a lot about Roman Wilson going late first round, early second, and that's a good landing spot for Roman Wilson. He did really, really well for Michigan in that national championship game and in the national championship run they've been on this season. Roman Wilson is a player who doesn't get a lot of hype like the other receivers do, but I think once as the later part of the draft comes up and as the closer the draft gets, we're going to be hearing a little bit more about Roman Wilson at wide receiver and what he can do for an NFL team. So Roman Wilson looked good for Michigan this season. He looked good for J.J. McCarthy. I like Roman Wilson. I think he's a good, solid late first round or early second round choice. He did really, really well at Michigan's Pro Day. That's all we really have for Michigan's Pro Day. Those players did exceptionally well. A lot of players did good, and J.J. McCarthy did really, really well. Guys, those were our Pro Day reactions for North Carolina, LSU, and Michigan. We will have more our last bit of Pro Day reactions with Tennessee, Auburn, and Washington. Tennessee, Auburn, and Washington, our last round of Pro Day reactions next Thursday on Pigskin Frenzy, the April 4th episode, or if you want to, you know, just be real, episode 112. So here we go. Let's talk about J.J. McCarthy for a little bit, because this is where I'm leading into. After the Pro Day, especially after the Pro Day, a little bit more before, but after the Pro Day, I've been hearing a lot about what's going on with J.J. McCarthy and what's going on with, you know, the quarterbacks in this draft. And the quarterbacks in this draft are stacked. You got Caleb Williams, obviously, who most likely will go first round of Chicago. Got Jaden Daniels out of LSU, who is presumably, for what I've been hearing, going second to the Commanders, at least at first, and then Drake May from North Carolina. Then you got Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix and Michael Pratt from Tulane, and you got Devin Leary. You got a lot of these guys. Sam Hartman, you got a lot of quarterback prospects. Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, Caden Slovitz from BYU, a lot of quarterback talent in this draft. J.J. McCarthy's one of them. He is one of them, and he has been making the rounds. I've been hearing a little bit before the Pro Day that J.J. McCarthy going before Jaden Daniels, and you're thinking to yourself, no, Jaden Daniels has done it enough. He's won the Heisman Trophy. He's broken a lot of records. He's done, exceptionally well and good enough to go top two if needed. But J.J. McCarthy, the buzz just kept going and going. This J.J. McCarthy, man, he's something. He is something. Look at him. Look at him play. Look at what he's done at Michigan. His record at Michigan was, you know, as far as I know, it was 23-3 at Michigan. And what he's done. I've been hearing a lot about J.J. McCarthy and, you know, what he's done. Excuse me. He finished his career at Michigan as a 27-1 starter. 27-1 starting quarterback record. That is the most, that is probably one of the most by anybody in the Big Ten. Not only that, it's the third best winning percentage by a quarterback in college football history. So I understand the hype. 27-1, that's hard to do. 27-1, J.J. McCarthy, he was, you know, electric at Michigan. He won them a national championship. National champion, 27-1 record as a starting quarterback, and what he's done for Michigan. He's, you know, his footwork is amazing. Him scrambling was amazing. He's good at throwing the ball. He's good at making decisions. He's a solid quarterback. In my opinion, J.J. McCarthy is a first round quarterback. But what I have been hearing is that he is from executive rivals, according to a lot of NFL experts and myself, is what I've been hearing, is a lot of guys expect Washington, the Commanders, who had the number two draft pick, to use it on a quarterback, but to use it on J.J. McCarthy. Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy going number two to the Washington Commanders. I've also been hearing the number six spot, to the New York Giants. The Giants are high on him. The Vikings are really high on him. The Commanders are also really high on him. Those three teams are landing spots for J.J. McCarthy, as well as what I've been hearing is the Broncos, but not so much as the Giants, the Commanders, and the Vikings. The Vikings could trade up to draft J.J. McCarthy. I've been hearing a lot about the hype around him. Is it smokescreen? Is it a smokescreen to go after a Jaden Daniels? Is it a smokescreen to go after a Drake May? Do I think so? Do I think it's a smokescreen? I don't think it's a smokescreen. I think there are a lot of guys who really like J.J. McCarthy. I like J.J. McCarthy. I think J.J. McCarthy is a good teammate, a very... also, like, very nice guy, very good and family-oriented, good teammate. He's very young. He's 21 years old. J.J. McCarthy is a solid football player and a good quarterback. Jim Harbaugh even quoted, he's one of the best quarterbacks he's seen. If you want a quarterback that knows how to quarterback, go to J.J. McCarthy. At Pro Day, teams were all over him. He was just Michigan... Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh was there to support Michigan and scout some players for himself too, as he's drafting. You know, he's drafting for the Chargers, right? So, but other teams were asking Jim Harbaugh about J.J. McCarthy because he coached him last season in college football. He raved about him. They all raved about him. They said that if the quarterback knows how to quarterback, it's J.J. McCarthy. J.J. has turned himself and is raising his draft stock so much from the combine. He did well at the combine. He did well at the pro day, exceptionally well at the pro day. He's only going up in the draft boards. And what I've been hearing is about a top five pick. Do I think it's a smokescreen? No. But my thoughts are this. Do I think J.J. McCarthy is the number two pick in the NFL draft? I do not. I'm pausing for a little bit. You're thinking, what are you talking about? Have you seen him play? I've seen him play. Good quarterback. Really good quarterback. I think he is a first-round quarterback. I think he is right outside the top 10. I think the number 12 spot to the Denver Broncos is a good landing spot for J.J. McCarthy. I think it's a very good landing spot for J.J. McCarthy. Do I think he's going to go before Michael Penix and Bo Nix? I certainly do. I think he is going to go before them. Do I think he's going to go before Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams? I don't think he should. I think Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams are better right now than J.J. McCarthy. I think what they did last season was unbelievable, unbelievable to the point where you have to draft them in the top five. There's no doubt you got to draft these two quarterbacks in the top five. And what they can do, you know, in the league is unbelievable. Don't get me wrong. I think what J.J. is going to do in the league is unbelievable. I believe in J.J. McCarthy. I just don't think that he is the right fit right now is in the top 10. I think the perfect fit for me is if the Denver Broncos picked up J.J. McCarthy. That's the perfect fit for me. If the Broncos use that 12th pick on J.J., I think that is the perfect fit for J.J. McCarthy. I don't think the Commanders are a fit. I think Jaden Daniels is a better fit at Washington than J.J. is under Cliff Kingsbury's offense and guidance. So that's my thoughts on J.J. McCarthy. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think he is a first-round talent, not denying what he did. I just don't think we saw him enough like we did Jaden and like we did Caleb. I think he exploited his talents good, but not to the point to get the number two draft pick. Not to the point where he should climb over a lot of guys to, you know, become the number two pick. I think he has shown his true talents in the combine and in the pro day, and that's where a lot of people are looking at. But if you watch some of his games, he did well, but he had a lot of guys out there with him, around him, a Blake Corum, a Donovan Edwards, a Roman Wilson, a Cornelius Johnson, a Tamaj Morgan, you know? I mean, he had a lot of guys around him. So I think J.J. McCarthy, I think McCarthy is a good, solid quarterback and will be an excellent NFL quarterback. I think he's going to be a very good NFL quarterback. I just think the right fit at this time is the number 12th pick in the NFL draft is the Denver Broncos for J.J. McCarthy. So that's just my thoughts on J.J. McCarthy. I think he's a solid quarterback. I think it's not a smokescreen, but I do think that they need to pump the brakes on him going number two. That's just my thoughts on everything. So good quarterback, though. Really good quarterback. He was fun watching him play at Michigan. It's going to be fun watching him on Sundays, Thursdays, and Mondays in the NFL. So let's move on to the NFL rule changes before we conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy. Let's talk about two big ones. We're not going to take a bunch of them, bunch of time on it. Just going to give you my thoughts on it. The NFL and a certain tackle move. The NFL in a league meeting has voted and has announced that they were banning the hit drop tackle for the 2024 season. Here we go. This got a lot of heat. A lot of heat it got, it got a lot of heat. These hooligans, what are they going to do? You know, try to take the game away we love? I think it's a move that has hurt people. I understand that. I think it's a move that it hurt Mark Andrews, for crying out loud. It really did. I understand. It sucks. It hurt a lot of people, and I think there's something that needs to be done, with conditioning and injuries and all that. But let me just say this. Here's the other side of the coin. If they can't tackle on the head or neck, if they can't tackle below the waist, where are they going to tackle? Here you go. I got the belt. I got the flags on the belt. Here. Let's just put these around our waist instead. It's really what it's like. You're about to just put flag football on everybody, and we're going to play some flag football. Take the pads off. Take the helmets off, and let's play some flag football. You might as well do it because it's a contact sport, ladies and gentlemen. Teams are going to get hit. Players are going to get hit. It's football. It sucks sometimes, but it's the game. That's how it is. It's football, for crying out loud. You're going to get hit, and it's hard. It's a hard sport. But you can't just keep banning tackles and not have these defenders defend themselves and get a chance to stop anybody. You might as well just make it an offensive-only game. No defense on the field, score fest each time. Whoever has the ball last wins. You know what I'm saying? We can't do that. We can't keep doing that. We need to keep on, we need to make it safer. We need to make the game safe, but we also need to make it not where you make it to where you're banning everything, to where you're banning tackles, to where you're banning this, that. It's going to be a 15-yard penalty if you do that. If you do a hit drop tackle, it's a 15-yard penalty for that team. It's unbelievable. I honestly think that we need to tone it down on some of these bans because it's a contact sport at the end of the day. Do I think that the league needs to get a hold of some of these rules? Yes, change some stuff up, but don't ban almost everything because you're taking away a lot of what is football and you don't want to take away football. So that's my thoughts on everything as well. Another thing, and this is where we will conclude today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy, is the NFL kickoff rule. It has been changed. And it has been quite interesting. It is a model, and this is voted by the league, voted unanimously by the league for the 2024 season and beyond, that the NFL will use the XFL's kickoff model for the upcoming season. They changed the kickoff rule. So it's a very unique kickoff rule. It is, and let me just try to figure out a way to explain it. Under the new rules, the kicking team's kicker will continue to kick from the 35-yard line. This is a quote from NPR.org, and I quote, the kicking team's kicker will continue to kick from the 35-yard line, but rather than be flanked by his teammates, the rest of the kicking team will line up at their opponent's 40-yard line. It's going to eliminate the traditional running head start, and the returning team will field up of two returners in the backfield, and the rest of the team will line up in a new setup zone between the 30 and 35 yard line. So the kicking team will be at the 40 yard line, and a little bit at the 35 to 30 yard line will be the receiving team. And behind in the end zone will be two in the back. A receiver, running back, you name it, whoever returning it. That's how the XFL did it. That's how the NFL is going to do it now. The kicker will be by himself. It's interesting. Does it make the game safer? Yeah, it makes the game a little bit safer, and that's what they're trying to get at. But I think what happens, though, you know, I think what happens, though, for this is this. If you want to, you know, just be real about the kickoff, it eliminates onside kicks a lot. There's not going to be many onside kicks unless you have to go for an onside kick. For a surprise onside kick, there's no more of that when it comes to this kickoff rule. It's basic. It's simple. It keeps everybody safe. And onside kicks are usually unsuccessful, right? So it eliminates the surprise of an onside kick or a squib kick. It's a basic form of kicking. It helps a lot of teams. Will teams run it back? They will run it back. They can get some more yards out of it, or they may fair catch it a little bit more than usual. They may fair catch it more than usual and call a fair catch. So let's see about the kickoff return, kickoff model. I think it's going to be interesting to see. It eliminates onside kicks. I think when you look at it, it's a good kickoff model. It's an interesting kickoff model. I just got to get used to it because I haven't really seen enough of it to, you know, give my full thoughts on it. But the NFL kickoff, you know, they're changing their model up. Let's see how it does in the 2024 season. It may look good. It may be safer. Let's see what happens in the 2024 season with some of these new rule changes that the National Football League has made. Guys, we're out of time. A big thank you for taking some time out of your Thursday to just sit back, watch, and listen to some NFL coverage presented by me. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like each episode, leave comments down below. Spotify, Podbean, and Apple, all you have to do is just share around with others and follow on there as well. X, Instagram, and Facebook, just type in Pigskin Frenzy, follow, like the pages there. You'll get episode updates. You will get news and highlights from across college and NFL football. You will get Instagram stories on, you go trivia questions on Instagram stories. Go and answer today's NFL one, as well as all things up to date for Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, www.pigskinfrenzy.weebly.com. You can go and see about all the platforms, look at, you know, about me, get to know me more, and go to the affiliations page and go through my link and click on my link to get your Beard Club products, get your Beard Club needs, and meet your grooming needs, and let your facial hair, your body, your hair on your head, make your facial hair and your grooming needs met with the Beard Club. Go to my link tree as well to go to the Beard Club, our partner of Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, big thank you again there. And just thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Pigskin Frenzy on Thursday. We will be back Tuesday for another edition of Pigskin Frenzy, where we will be presenting more spring outlooks. This time we are going to be doing UCF, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, and LSU. South Carolina, LSU, UCF, Georgia Tech. Those four schools. We're going to be doing more of spring outlooks and more spring results as spring football takes shape. College Football Edition of Pigskin Frenzy is then. Until Tuesday, I'm Joel Norris signing off. We will see you then for another edition of Pigskin Frenzy. Guys, have a great weekend. Have a great Easter as well. Happy Easter to all. Remember the reason for this, guys. Christ died on the cross for our sins so that we can be together in eternity forever with him. That is the main purpose of Easter. Do not forget the main purpose of Easter. 3 days. He died on Friday, rose again on Thursday. And as all the people said, and I hope you're saying this with me, amen. Amen. Stay the course, everybody. Have a great weekend. Have a great rest of your Easter. And Christ is risen. Amen. Amen.